Okay, so this presentation is on a completely different project. This is far less analytical, far less convergence proofs. This is basically, we have a bioacoustics group that is interested in learning species distributions, basically a connection between signal processing, machine learning, and ecology. And we formed between myself and Shelly Fern a group that looks at doing that from microphones, placing microphones in the forest and listening to birds. My co-authors here are Lawrence Neal, who is, I think at the time he wrote this paper, was a third-year undergrad student in our group, and he was very enthusiastic about this problem, so you know, he wanted to help out, and we got him onto this problem, and very quickly he caught up with the signal processing or machine learning techniques used in that. Forrest Briggs is a PhD student in the group, and basically self and my collaborator. Okay, so the bird bioacoustic project deals with a variety of questions, ecological questions, and how to solve them using audio. How to set a microphone in the forest, listen to the audio, and determine species distribution and so on. Individual ID. So the other motivation for this particular paper is coming from just audio segmentation, and the focus is rather than a classical 1D audio segmentation, which is typically used in this type of data, we present a time frequency, so a 2D audio segmentation, which is rather than a threshold method is based on classification, so learning from examples. Specifically, I'll present a segmentation system that is using the random forest classifier to segment, and we will show some results. So here's the general idea. So I think this particular picture was taken at the Hubbard Brook long-term ecological research site, and the idea is the following. When people are interested in exploring species distribution for the purpose of ecology research, they send an individual that will go and stand in each of these points. This is actually a topographic map, and they will send an individual that will stand in each of those points for 10 minutes and will move on to the next point. Sounds like pretty exhausting. Sometimes they send multiple individuals to do that. And for a sampling of 10 minutes during the day, the idea was to estimate the distribution of species during the day. And of course, everybody here who knows sampling realizes that something must be very wrong with just 10 minutes during the day to actually obtain an accurate distribution of species. And so, of course, part of the idea here is to keep these maps across the years and learn how species distribution change over time, how to, for example, once you estimate the distribution, how to integrate that with ecological research. In other words, how to connect the distributions to environmental parameters. So in this project, we actually have placed microphones in the H.J. Andrews long-term ecological research sites. We're using the song meter, which is commonly used in bird song analysis, and placing it in a variety of places. I think in this sort of preliminary research, we put in 15 places. What happens is this is not fully automatic yet. Somebody has to replace the batteries every 2 weeks because of the time of the recording, and also replace the memory chips because it takes a lot of memory to record over a couple of weeks. So the system that we developed in order to do species distribution involves a collection of placing automated recorders, collection of data from these recordings, convert into spectrograms, perform segmentation in the spectrograms, and in order to extract syllables. And the reason why we do that is because birds tend to vocalize simultaneously. And so 1D segmentation would have been useful here. And so the idea is after you get those syllables, you extract features for each syllables, and then you build a probabilistic model, which is probably sort of the goal and the focus of this project. Not this particular paper, how to build a probabilistic model that takes recordings, a collection of recordings. Each recording is labeled with the species present, or subset of the recordings is labeled with the species present and species absent. And the idea here is to learn from the collection of the recording and to be able to analyze a new recording which doesn't have labels. In other words, to just pinpoint in the recording which syllable belonged to which bird and what birds are present in that recording. So, as I mentioned before, birds tend to have many independent vocalizations, and often these vocalizations overlap in time. In other words, birds tend to pick different frequency channel so that they're not overlapping. I mean, the idea here is communication used for either scaring off enemies, which are short, simple calls, or mating. And so the idea here, what's the point of communicating with your mate when they can't hear you? So the idea is birds tend to space themselves in frequency as well. And so, as I mentioned, 1D segmentation may look like this when there's no overlap of bird singing, but in practice, a lot of the recordings that we get would look something like this. Some of the stuff here is barely visible, but what I'd like to point out is that this is the frequency axis and this is the time axis, and one can see that at an individual time instance, there's an overlap between syllable from one bird species to syllables from other bird species. And so, in this particular paper, the focus is how to perform good segmentation. As I mentioned, apparently, even though segmentation is not as fun for us statistical signal processing as developing the models and how to estimate species distribution on a new recording based on models, it is probably one of the most important problems and important aspects of this project. When you break a syllable, either over-segment a syllable or segment syllables jointly, a lot of the models seem to fail. And so the process is the following. We get these spectrograms and we have somebody sit and use either Paint or other program to go and mark what is noise and what is signal. And the idea here is we'll give the computer enough examples of this, and basically we'll take the audio, generate spectrograms, extract features, feed it into a classifier along with the labels with those particular masks that were created, and hope that given a new recording, the algorithm will allow us to classify a particular pixel in the spectrogram as belonging to background or foreground. So the framework is very familiar to those of you who are in image processing or computer vision. And so we borrow some of the principles from there. So the details are as follows. We obtain the spectrograms. What you can see on the screen as well as on the laptop here is that after converting the recordings into a spectrogram, there's a stationary background noise typically corresponding to stream or other environment noise that exist in low frequencies, and so we're applying a widening filter to get rid of this. And then at this point, we take the spectrogram and we extract feature for each pixel in the spectrogram. We collect a neighborhood of values and extract features for that neighborhood of values. And once we have the features, we apply the random forest classifier tree. I will skip the details of the classifier. And so the idea here is to then be able to predict on a new recording the right label, either foreground or background. Another aspect is another advantage of the random forest classifier, which is very suitable for segmentation as opposed, for example, to SVM or other classifiers, is the fact that the classifier can give you a way to threshold the performance. In random forest classifier, you obtain multiple trees. Each tree provides a classification, so either 0 or 1. By taking, for example, 50 of those, an average, you can get the probability of belonging to one class or the other, which allows you to then threshold and helps in segmentation. And so here is an example how after applying the classifier and segmenting, we obtain this result, and of course we filter out small segments or small connected components. And the idea here is after you do that, you can then actually extract individual syllables from their recordings which is really an input to all the work that we do later. So the data that we have, that we worked on for the experiment is stereo PCM data recorded at 16 kilohertz. We will increase that in the future because some birds articulate at frequencies higher than 8 kilohertz. We have data set of 625 audio segments that we collected 15 seconds each. Basically, two segments, the way the data was recorded is two segments per hour, 24 hours per site from 13 sites. So there's a mix of sites and mix of hours of the day. And each spectrogram, in order to do this evaluation properly, we had to label all 665 spectrograms and then to see whether the segmentation algorithm can predict the human labeling. And in this particular, we use 40 trees for each random forest, and what we do is we cut out random neighborhoods from this. We can't use all the patches in the spectrogram, so we cut out half a million examples. And we're considering two evaluations of the ROC. One is in terms of time frequency area, the number of spectrogram units correctly classified. So you look at the number of pixels that were correctly classified. And another one is you consider the energy weighting. In other words, there could be these pixels that are hard to guess, and perhaps you want to take that into account. So how obvious is a pixel? How high the energy there is incorporated in the second formula? So next, I'm presenting the results. The results are we ran the classifier and scanned through the threshold in order to obtain the receiver operating characteristic, the ROC. And what we can see is that, you know, our intuition, why not just use... So the first question is, why don't you just use an energy thresholding? And that's the performance that we get with energy thresholding. And so, okay, so energy thresholding worked pixel-wise, and that could be inaccurate. So why don't you use thresholding and blur, perhaps to take advantage of neighborhood? And in this case, we try that as well. And then, of course, we compare that to the classifier. And the closer the ROC is to this line or that line, the better it is. And we can see that the classifier does far better than energy thresholding, which are the common methods. And of course, we look as well as at the ROC in terms of total acoustic energy. Rather than calculate pixels as 0 and 1, we assign the weight corresponding to the pixel spectrum. And once again, we see the same relationship that basically the classifier does better than thresholding and blurring, and thresholding and blurring does somewhat better than just simply thresholding. So I think part of the idea is that once we do this classification in terms of future work, our goal is to use and learn these syllables as a dictionary. And once we have a dictionary, there's a lot of models that can be applied once you have the dictionary. So for example, topic models are some of our research interests, and we're interested in applying topic models to identifying bird species in these recordings. Here are some examples, I don't know how visible they are, of clusters that were formed after applying the segmentation. You can see a fairly repetitive patterns within each cluster, or you can barely see, I guess, due to the different contrast. So the point here is that we're getting segmentation that is to the level that we're interested in. We're not over-segmenting or under-segmenting, and that allows us to perform clusters and to basically convert these audios into documents. Questions?
This is a very interesting problem. Do you happen to have a priori the number of classes of birds that you are looking at, or this is an open set?
So, yes and no. So we do have experts that go in here, and at this point we think the humans are better than the computer. Mm-hmm. So we trust that what they tell us is right. So they do know about the species that are present in that area. Right. And the no part is that there are some rare species that often get into that area that may be present and vocalized in the recordings that we'll not be able to classify.
Yeah, because you know my idea is that if you know the classes, you probably can do the segmentation through the classifier. That may be more interesting.
Right.
If you know the classes. If
right.
You
don't. One of the problems that is interesting to us is new class detection.
Right.
And we'd like to avoid relying on the classes that we know.
Thanks for the presentation. It's really, really impressive work. And so I would like to know what. So we have this really good rec curve with the random forest. And I would. Could you describe the kind of false positives that you get? Because since you already have like really good results, I guess the focus would be like, how can it be even a sharper rock curve?
So I think that's a good question. I don't know that I can answer directly your question. But what I want to point out is that. This is highly dependent on how people segment the data. In this, we've tried this approach many times with different features and basically different people who segmented. What we notice is that the results are highly dependent in terms of performance on how people segment. We still see the same relationship between the methods, but the curves themselves would vary quite a lot depending on what features you're picking to estimate syllables and depending on how you're segmenting. In fact, you know, we're using Paint in Microsoft, right? As simple as it goes to mark the syllables. And everybody uses a different brush. So it actually does generate different estimates of classifier differently. Yeah. But I can talk to you afterwards to get to the point of.
Can I ask why the spectrum?
I don't know. Maybe it's worthwhile to consider different featurization or different representation of time frequency. We haven't tried it. I know that in this field people use correlograms as well and other methods. We simply did not try them. Yeah. Yes?
Is the database available to public?
We will make it available soon, yeah. I mean, we basically have a paper in submission right now. Once it gets accepted, hopefully we'll make the data set available for everyone to try and outdo the methods. Yeah.